to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
And I never know whether Chris or Nick, when Nick Redfern is on, will do our little segue. There you go. The book is called For Nobody's Eyes Only, Missing Government Files and Hidden Archives that Document the Truth Behind the Most Enduring Conspiracy Theories. And we've got a bunch of questions from our listeners, by the way, to Nick. Not all about the book, you understand, but all fascinating. Chris, you want to continue with that?
Yeah, there's one more from Obey that I think is a good one, and I'm interested to hear Nick's answer to this. You know, he says, I've heard people talk about the current popularity of the paranormal in media being tied to a long, careful plan to, quote-unquote, desensitize the populace to the idea of aliens and the like. Do you think there is anything to this theory, and if so, who is perpetrating it?
No, I actually don't, in simple terms. I don't believe there's some sinister hand pulling the strings of TV or whatever. I think TV channels commission shows from production companies based around what's currently popular at any given moment. That's why you have a bunch of totally ridiculous shows about a bunch of women arguing with each other over lunch, you know, with too little brains and too much money to spend and too much time on the hands.
Women definitely want to watch that show. I have to talk to some women about this. My wife does not watch that.
Well, that's good. But I mean, but on the other hand, then you have, you know, endless shows on, you know, sort of junk or whatever, or people selling things, that kind of thing. Then you have the paranormal shows, you know, many of which are dominated just by things like night vision and running around in the woods. In other words, TV channels are prompted by what's currently in vogue at any given time. And right now, the paranormal is big news. So I don't believe that there's any need or requirement on any shadowy government part to try and, you know, reinforce this when the TV channels are doing it themselves because it brings in money. You know, at the end of the day, you have to remember that TV companies, channels, networks, production companies, they're in the business of making money. They're not really in the business of revealing to the world the truth about UFOs. You know, next week they could be revealing the truth about the Second World War or the truth about, you know, the next or the first manned mission to Mars, that kind of thing. You know, whatever, it's a job for them. And right now, the job that is popular is making shows on UFOs, Bigfoot, ghosts, whatever.
We have a bunch of questions here. I'm going to start going through them. Here's one from Technomage T, who's one of our newest signups at forum.theparacast.com. He has a whole list of questions here for you. My name's in several of them for some reason.
Chris, you better stop having your name in questions. Please read the question.
Okay, this is a pretty easy one, I think, or maybe a difficult one. Who is your favorite UFO researcher, historian, or activist, and why?
I'd probably say John Keel, and the reason why is because Keel was someone who thought completely outside the box. You know, in the 60s and 70s, when arguably Keel's work was at its height, you know, this was still when the whole nuts and bolts angle of ufology was very much in vogue. But Keel wasn't afraid to think totally outside the box, and, you know, he sort of drew parallels between the UFO issue today and paranormal activity hundreds of years ago and folklore and mythology, this kind of thing. And, you know, he sort of recognized parallels with the occult as well and things like this. And when I was a kid growing up and started getting into the subject, that kind of thing appealed to me because he was someone who was looking at issues and answering hard questions and asking hard questions about things that so many other people in the field wouldn't touch. Now, going to conferences, you know, and knowing people in the UFO field, you know, I know more than a few people who just kiss ass because they want to stay on the lecture circuit, they want to keep involved with the right person and say the right thing. So, you know, and I've never done that. I don't deliberately go out of my way to write about alternative topics. But, you know, I find that when I look into things, there are alternatives. And it isn't just nuts and bolts craft. But, you know, I don't care about kissing ass. You know, I tell it as I see it. And if people don't like it, well, that's tough luck. And Keel did that. you know, he was someone who just basically said, well, this is what I found. And the UFO community is up in arms because he's not talking about alien scientists coming to Earth or whatever. So that's what I like about Keel. You know, he sort of stuck a fork in the wheel or whatever.
We need to stick more forks in wheels because that helps us get answers. Right now, the biggest argument I always have with the UFO field is that they're just sticking to the past, the theories of the past. They don't think behind the box, and we go nowhere.
Well, that's because it's become, for many people, it's just a source of entertainment. And I understand that. There's nothing wrong with being entertained by it, but it should also be a case of investigation. But so much of it today is just about upholding the UFO scene. You know, it's like conference organizers want to get people on seats. Magazine editors want to try and stay afloat, you know, in the world of the internet. You know, things like these TV companies want to grab it while they can. And so, in other words, it becomes almost like a comfort zone. You know, particularly for people who've been in the UFO field for a long time, it's like a comfort factor. We're all, you know, a bunch together or whatever. And, well, no, you know, you need to do investigations. It's no good just playing safe and, oh, yes, we've got nice monthly meetings at this place and we sit down and talk about UFO sightings and George Adamski or whatever. Well, that's a bunch of crap. You know what I mean? People shouldn't be used this as a comfort factor. It should be an investigative thing to find answers. You
know? Or a new system of religious belief.
Yeah, it is. It becomes almost like a religion where people believe this, they believe that, and they don't want their beliefs changing because the current beliefs make them feel comfortable. Well, you know, you can't go through life being comfortable and just poking your head out the front door now and again. You know, you've got to ask awkward questions because there are awkward questions that need asking.
Yeah. Well, here's another question. You've answered a second question about who really influenced your thinking. And I share that answer with you, John Keel. And I do. I mean, one of the most important UFO books I think everyone interested in this subject should read is Operation Trojan Horse. Classic book that really influenced my thinking. Here's another one. Do you agree with Chris's gut feeling that a large number of paranormal events are related to each other and that a tricksterish force is behind them?
Yeah, I actually do. And I'm not just saying that because Chris happens to be on the other end of the phone. I mean, I'm sure Chris can appreciate and relate to this as well. I mean, a lot of the stuff I do, you know, when it comes to UFOs or Bigfoot or lake monsters or paranormal stuff, one of the things I often get when I'm on an investigation is like a lot of weird synchronicities, like a meaningful coincidence for people who aren't aware what a synchronicity is. And when this happens time and time again, it almost is as if somebody's playing with you, toying with you, as if you're in some sort of weird matrix-like real world sort of thing. And I get this a lot, and it happens to the point where it clearly isn't coincidence. And when it's across the board, like in UFOs, in cryptozoology and elsewhere, that's one of the things that lead me to believe many of these things are interconnected because it's otherwise. And, you know, I mean, for example, with my book, The Real Men in Black, I mean, I talk in there about how people had had Men in Black visitations after seeing UFOs, but they'd also had MIB experiences after dabbling with Ouija boards or after they'd seen Mothman. Now, on the face of it, there shouldn't be any connection between UFOs, Mothman, and Ouija boards pop up in all those cases. So, again, you know, to sort of answer the question, this is another example of how all these different phenomena seem to cross over. So it's things like this, you know, the crossover between the phenomena, the synchronicities, just the weird stuff that happens when you investigate these things, that I don't pretend to have the answers to why or how it happens, but clearly there is some sort of weird trickster manipulation going on.
Weird trickster sort of things are going to happen in a moment if we don't do this break. You like that, Chris? It's the first one.
I did. Good answer, Nick. I couldn't agree more.
Okay, Nick Redfern is joining us. You're on with Gene and Chris. You're in
the podcast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 hosting, and they're screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number 2, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We are doing this show just a few days before Halloween. So the other side of Nick Redfern has appeared. We haven't figured out what side that is yet, but there's another side.
It was Bela Lugosi on mushrooms.
Well, but where's the Hungarian accent?
Well, I have got a Bela Lugosi t-shirt. Chris actually saw it.
Yeah, I love it too.
You have a Bela Lugosi t-shirt. I got something better to tell you, though. Years ago, when I met up with Forrest J. Ackerman, who's the famous science fiction fan and horror writer, and he had this amazing museum of memorabilia that was, I guess, dealt with after he died. But here's the issue here. He had Bela Lugosi's ring on his hand, and he always wore it.
Now what?
Isn't that interesting? Oh, that's cool. The Dracula ring that he wore in the movie.
Spooky.
Yeah, that's a bit of it.
Spooky indeed. More questions, Chris?
Yeah, Nick, have you ever discovered government documents that contradict other government documents, thus making it likely that at least one set of documents is disinformation? That's a good question.
Yeah, that is. I have come across a couple of things like that. I'm not sure if it's disinformation. I tend to take more the approach that it's Agency A doesn't necessarily know what Agency B is doing or doesn't have the clearance to know what Agency C is up to. I mean, I've seen this probably more in the British government files at the British National Archives just outside London, where, for example, there are reports, UFO documents from the publicly acknowledged UFO office of the Ministry of Defence, the one Nick Pope worked in, which talk about where UFO researchers have written letters and said things like, you know, do you work with other countries on the UFO problem? And, you know, they say, well, no, we've got this little office here and we just look at reports and try and figure out if people saw a satellite or a weather balloon or whatever. And those are they're all coming out of the office in which Nick Pope worked in the 1990s. However, through the Freedom of Information Act, from some of the defense intelligence offices, we're actually seeing documents where, for example, the defense intelligence people were actively approaching overseas nations. I mean, I'll give you a classic example. Through the Freedom of Information Act, we now have documents showing that in 1967, the British government actually, at the height of the Cold War, approached the Soviets with a secret view to setting up like a joint UFO study program, which sounds incredible. But, wow. You know, Nick Pope's office never did anything like that. And they actually said, we do not liaise with overseas nations. Now, I don't believe that office was lying. I think they actually knew nothing about what the defense intelligence people, who operated a far greater level of secrecy. I don't think they just simply had any idea what that other department was up to.
Do you think the agency that Nick Pope worked with was just a PR agency having nothing to do with any real investigation?
Well, I won't say it was PR, but it was just a very low-level thing. I mean, by Nick's own admission, he never left the office to investigate a case. You know, he never went out into the field or anything like that. It was all done from reports that were channeled through to the office. I mean, even Blue Book went out into the field to investigate things. You know, the Ministry of Defense study didn't. But we do get reports of people who've seen UFOs who claim to have been visited by MOD personnel. So this leads me to believe that, you know, Nick's office was a legitimate one, but it was just a low-key one. It wasn't, quote, the UFO office, if you like.
Here's a question from Burnt State, who's one of our active participants at forum.theparacast.com. And he goes, Nick, you've written so many books on so many topics. Do you ever feel that you have contradicted yourself in your writings, where the ideas from one book may stand in direct opposition to another? If so, please describe.
That's actually a good question. I won't say I've ever done anything that deliberately contradicts things, but what I would say, you know, given the fact that I've been sort of writing in the UFO field for like 20-something years and I've been writing books for 17 years, what happens sometimes is that, you know, you'll write something maybe in 97 and then new documents might surface in 2005 which shed new light on something that you wrote about previously and changes, you know, your original position. I mean, that's normal. You know, I've never deliberately written something that's totally contradicting, you know, something else. But, you know, it's just how life is. That sometimes things are going to surface in the future that change the way you look at something you wrote in the past. You know, that's inevitable.
Okay. Well, here we have several questions from a new poster named Smike, who just joined the forum here at forum.theparacast.com on Monday. And he says, we regularly hear of people who claim to have been abducted and given information by the aliens that took them. However, these prophecies are usually revealed after the fact, or on the rare occasion somebody makes a prediction in advance. It's so vague that it can be applied to almost anything. So to your knowledge, has there ever been an abductee who has made a correct, precise prediction based on information apparently passed on to them by advanced beings?
Not to the best of my knowledge, but again, this goes back to the whole trickster angle, where you can look throughout history where people have sort of been approached or manifested before them, like higher entities or supernatural beings, and they've made these prophecies and claims, you know, the world's going to end on this date, or you need to, where they claimed, you know, to have met aliens, and we're going to be on a timescale to disarm our nuclear weapons or else, this kind of thing. Even things, you know, like the 2012 Mayan prophecies, you know, everybody was running around, well, a lot of people running around thinking the world was going to end. You know, Nostradamus, for example, probably the most famous example, exploding like it did. You know, you don't find anything from these prophecies in the 50s and 60s that we're all going to be reliant on instant communication, etc. That really came out of the blue. So, to be honest, I don't have much faith in prophecies or anything like that. Now, what I would say is I think everybody might, or a lot of people at some point, have had like a prophetic feeling where, you know, something happens and then, or they think something of a dream and then it happens. So I'm not saying there isn't anything to this, but what I'm saying is sort of specific dates, specific places, specific times. I'm not aware of anything that's really convincing. But that doesn't mean things can't happen, but it's more of like a grayer angle of trying to interpret.
Okay, yeah, that's once you start using the P word and the B word, I like to say, the prophecy and belief, you're getting into some pretty tenuous ground, and I try to stay away from both those words as much as possible. This is an interesting question, and I'm curious to know what you have to think about this one. Are there any cases that have been debunked by UFO researchers that you believe have merit to them?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's probably quite a few. I mean, for example, if we take the Belgian flying triangle cases of the late 1980s, I mean, a lot of people said, oh, it was just military craft, but, you know, I don't believe that was the case at all. You know, there's a lot of people have sort of, or not a lot, but some people have debunked the Socorro 1964 landing. I'm still not convinced that wasn't a real legitimate event, you know, even though it's been suggested it was like some sort of hoax by a bunch of college kids.
From just one person, of course, Tony Bergaglia, who revealed that particular story. Yeah, and of course, it's very highly disputed. We have a lot more to cover, a lot more questions that we got to get into. For our remaining two segments, we have Nick Redfern, author of For Nobody's Eyes Only, Missing Government Files and Hidden Archives that Document the Truth Behind the Most Enduring Conspiracy Theories. And we also have lots of questions from our listeners. With Gene and Chris, you're in
The Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123 freeseeds.com.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapriate e-liquid by LeSig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapriate e-liquid by LeSig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapriate e-liquid by LeSig a long time ago. LeSig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LeSig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriate at LeSig.com or call 870-525-1440. 870-525-1440. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
It's that time of year again, and you know what that means. Cold and flu season. But don't worry. HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95. On sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3, 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain. Normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu-fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
This is Hilly Rose, and I hope that you do listen to the Paracast, because you will learn a great deal about the paranormal.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, Nick Redfern joining us. Nick, did you have anything further to say about that particular question you were answering before Chris goes on?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, this, for example, one classic example being the contactees. You know, that entire movement is pretty much dismissed by a lot of people in the UFO field because they just look at it from the black and white perspective of long-haired aliens coming from Venus, etc., and they write it all off. I don't, but, you know, it's like any aspect of the UFO phenomenon. Yeah, there are fakers and hoaxers and disinformation people, whatever, but I still believe that there's a legitimate contactee phenomenon. Now, whether it's with something extraterrestrial or that manifests in a visionary form and it appears like the Space Brothers, I don't know. I think I'm more inclined to go down that path, that it's more like a visionary experience that from some other intelligence. But I actually think many of the contactees had definitively real experiences. You know, whether they occurred in an altered state or not is a different matter, but I don't believe they're all just a bunch of hoaxers and, you know, shysters or whatever.
So you feel that a lot of these, or at least some of these events were firmly believed by the people that experienced them. I think a good example of that would be Truman Bethlehem, I think, was really compelling. And there's some evidence to suggest that something really high strange did happen to him.
Oh, yeah, I think true. I mean, I've written quite extensively about his case. And for me, Truman Bethlehem, it always sounds bizarre, but I think it was more of like a visionary experience with something, like an otherworldly intelligence that manifested almost like in a Matrix-style hologram form where, you know, he was presented with this imagery and it was like a visionary process, but it was real in one sense, but it was external as well. It wasn't all just due to, you know, to his mind.
H.T., have you done any research on time slips? And if so, is there any evidence for them, or is it this just a myth?
Personally, I haven't, but there's a couple of good books that cover that area. One is a book called This Book Is From the Future, written by a good friend of mine, Marie Jones, and Larry Flaxman. And there's also one that was written by Jenny Randalls about 10 or 12 years ago, I think, called Time Storms. And both those books are worth reading because they cover this angle of sort of time slips and, you know, apparent brief journeys, you know, back and into the past and into the future.
I'm kind of wondering as we go on here, whether we should get Jenny Rambles on the show soon. We did get a letter from her several years ago where there was some kind of dispute over something, and that was resolved.
I haven't heard anything from her for years, and I'm not even aware if she's written any books. I don't know what she's doing. I mean, any books in sort of last 10 years or so. I don't know of anything she's
doing. Yeah, you don't hear Jenny's name very much anymore. Occasionally she turns up on updates, but I have no idea what she's been up to. Of course, she has been in the field. So she might have just burned out. I know the feeling. I've almost been there myself.
It's easy to do.
Here's a question from Han, who is Harry A. Newton, who is one of our posters at forum.theparacast.com, where you can go sign up and get your questions asked by Gene and myself of our guests on the question thread. On your last appearance, Nick, he heard you mention Cannock Chase as being a paranormal hotspot. Off the top of your head, and I'm not sure if you will see this thread before the show is recorded, which I don't think you have, do you know of any cases from RAF Stafford or Swinnerton, Yarnfield, or Stone?
Yeah, I actually do. I mean, this is all those places he's just listed. We're within about sort of 20, 25 minutes drive from where I grew up. Cannock Chase was like a 12-minute drive at most from where I grew up. That entire area, Stone, Yarnfield, RAF Stafford, I've got a lot of reports of that area of UFO sightings, of, you know, things in the sky. The Cannock Chase itself, this large forested area, that has been the site of everything from UFO landings to contactee cases to abductions to missing time events, vehicle interference cases, but also, bizarrely, a lot of weird creatures like large black cats, even sort of Bigfoot-type creatures, as well as bizarre and as crazy as it sounds, and black sort of large black dogs with glowing red eyes, you know, sort of the phantom black dog-type tales. So, in other words, the entire area is a hot spot for strangeness, and it kind of goes back to this stuff with Keel, where why would you see phantom black dogs and ghostly creatures and big cats in the same place as people see UFOs if it's just nuts and bolts aliens from another world? And the Cannock Chase is a classic example for me as to why Keel was on the right track, because it just sort of demonstrates exactly what he was saying.
Okay, here's another one. I'm not sure if you're going to want to touch this particular possible subject, but in your opinion, is there a possible connection between the Gulf of Tonkin incident, Operation Northwoods, and the terrorist attacks on the World Trade Centers?
I don't mind tackling difficult subjects. I mean, you know, the thing is that I don't really get involved in sort of more political conspiracies, mainly because, you know, it's not my area of expertise. I'm not overly familiar with it. You know, when it comes to things like the World Trade Center and all this sort of stuff, I think if you're going to make an extreme claim about it all being done by insiders, then you've got to come up with some extreme evidence, you know, but that's the thing. I mean, I've heard all sorts of stories about, you know, the passengers weren't really on the planes and all sorts of bizarre stuff and, you know, this stuff about a plane not hitting the Pentagon, really. Well, it's all very well to make those sort of claims, but then you've got to say, well, where are the passengers? Where is the real plane? But I actually don't think the government was involved in 9/11. You know, I think it was down to a bunch of crazy guys. And that people might be amazed and stunned by that, but, you know, 9/11 for me was not an inside job. And people might say, I don't know enough to comment on it, which could be true. But, you know, we know those guys were on those planes, and they, you know, they weren't friendly guys. And we know that the passengers, who some people say, well, they weren't on the plane, they've never serviced again, so clearly they were on the planes, you know.
Well, the other thing here is you can also argue that there were over 50 warning signs that the government should have acknowledged and failed to follow up on. And we can go into the whys and wherefores.
I'm not saying things weren't followed up on, or that, you know, because a lot of data has been put forward to suggest it clearly wasn't followed up on, or was ignored, or was overlooked, however you want to term it.
Sure, and then they can say in retrospect, well, we didn't connect the dots. But you know what? We paid them the big bucks to connect the dots, so I don't know if they can accept that.
I don't disagree with that, but the idea that you know, the planes were like radio controlled into the towers or something, and there were you know, and that somebody had planted 50 tons of dynamite in the bottom of the towers, you know. People are going to make claims like that. They've got to come up with something, you know.
That gets to the wacky category. That gets to be a little too wacky for me.
No, I don't think it's wacky because a lot of people legitimately believe all this and think there are explicit good reasons why. But my view is that if you're going to make extreme claims, you've got to come up with something to back it up, not just, oh, well, those towers seem to fall like in a detonation. Well, saying they seem to fall like in a detonation isn't good enough, you know.
And these are people who may not even have the engineering expertise. When I say wacky, it's because of the nature of the theories. We can come up with all sorts of theories. Theories are a dime a dozen. But when you say that, especially something like this, a high-profile episode of whatever, where there are tons of documentation and probably an official story, before you say the official story is wrong and maybe it's okay just to talk about it, you really have to produce some extraordinary evidence to support that claim. It's not so easy. And this goes This goes to anything, even the Kennedy assassination. As much as it seems to be a conspiracy, we don't know who did it. We can say it was JFK's, you know, rivals, maybe organized crime because he went with the wrong woman. It was LBJ. It was the Cubans. It was the CIA. It was the Russians. We can say lots of things. But we could say that we have one more segment to spend with Nick Redfern. The book is For Nobody's Eyes Only. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the podcast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Are you prepared for disasters, job loss, and uncertain times? Make Emergency Essentials your first stop for premier food storage and emergency preparedness supplies. Compare our food storage ounce to ounce, and it's easy to see. Emergency Essentials has the best quality and lowest priced emergency food storage guaranteed. Call Emergency Essentials at 800-999-1863 today or visit BePrepared.com. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
Hi, I'm Ed Krell, CEO of Destination Maternity. We proudly support the March of Dimes work to reduce the rate of premature birth. The numbers have gone down in the past 5 years, but still, nearly 500,000 babies are born too soon in the United States each year. We're helping the March of Dimes fund cutting-edge research and community programs to help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in working together for stronger, healthier babies. Visit marchofdimes.com.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Amazon includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Ouch! My back is out again!
Hi, Dr. Ortman with Wellspring Spinal Care. If you're experiencing neck, mid, or lower back pain, this information is for you. One of the complaints that I hear is patients receive their typical adjustment, only having to repeat them as the pain returns. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the battle. At Wellspring Spinal Care, we have the entire solution. We use the NUCA approach, utilizing three-dimensional x-rays and gentle touch technology to deliver specific correction. We then design a custom nutritional supplement program which provides essential nutrients targeting the areas of concern. With a NUCA approach and proper nutrition, you'll be on your way to a faster and more permanent recovery. To get you on the road to wellness, visit drortman.com. That's drortman.com. Or call us today, 952-303-9124. That's 952-303-9124. Wellspring Spinal Care. Chiropractic done right.
Hi, this is Ted Phillips, listening to the Paracast, and it's as good as it gets, believe me.
Gene and Chris in the Paracast, we're on the final segment, which means that we have to rush through the questions and rush through the answers. Chris, let's move on.
Okay, this one might be a little bit redundant, but I'd be interested to hear your answer. What are your favorite three UFO events, using whatever definition of favorite you would like?
Well, that's a good question. I guess it does depend how you define favorite. I mean, I would have to put Roswell. I know it sounds predictable. I would have to put Roswell in there, mainly because of its potential importance in possibly one day blowing the whole thing wide open. I think Roswell would have to be there for that reason. That's not necessarily a favorite reason, but it's an essential case, you know, to possibly proving that we have been visited and that there's a physical nature to the phenomenon from somewhere else. I would also, I think one of my favorite ones, which is also a wacky one, was the stuff, I forget the guy's name now, who claimed to have met aliens that made him pancakes. It's from like the early 1960s.
Right, Simonton, I think, was the case.
Yeah,
wasn't
that's right, Joe Simonton, yeah, this farmer who said the aliens landed and made him pancakes.
They gave him these, and he said it tasted like cardboard. If I had to answer that question, one of my favorite UFO flaps that had other things attached to it was the Ellsbury flap of 78, Ellsbury, Missouri, when Bigfoot showed up, was searching through a garbage dump, and little guys in silver suits were seen, and formations of what appeared to be 55-gallon drums were seen flying around, and these weird orange lights would come down in fields, and cows would be discovered mutilated. By the end of this two-week or three-week period, hundreds of people were lining the roads in lawn chairs waiting for the UFOs and for the alien mutilators to come down, and they were selling shirts and balloons and... Oh, my goodness. It's just so fun sometimes.
At the end of the day, I'd actually be hard-pressed to make a list less than sort of 20 of, you know, overall favorite ones. But I think the better the case, you know, that I wouldn't say the favorite, but they're important and essential ones, you know.
Yeah, I also like the Kashmiri cases that crop up from time to time on the DMZ between the Pakistanis and Indians up there in the high mountains of the Himalayas. Some of those cases are pretty fascinating when you dig into them and you start looking at them. Of course, the O'Hare Airport case. I think there's a ton of information that still could possibly be obtained by really digging deeply into that case. And of course, Stevensville too, in terms of recent cases.
Or even possibly the Villas Boas one, which is a good one.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, she grunted like an animal. I love that one. It's like. Yeah.
Don't tell us anything personal, Chris.
That was Phyllis Boas. That wasn't me.
Yeah. Well, do you like women who grunt like animals? That's what he's basically saying. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was a bit of an animal, but, you know.
Well, he didn't have much choice. I mean, he struggled, but he was raped.
I don't think he complained about it.
Well, actually, he did. He was quite dismayed and upset, according to, I forget, who was it, Olaves or whoever was the investigator that said that he was upset about it. But he must not have been too upset.
No, exactly.
Okay, here's a tough one. It's kind of an open-ended question, but, you know, let's give our listeners maybe who haven't really heard you before on the radio, some of our first-time listeners perhaps would like to get a little better idea of who Nick Redfern is. And Burnt State asks a pretty interesting question. Would you describe yourself as a paranormal, 14 author with a specific agenda looking to solve the phenomena through a set of personally developed evolving theories, or are you a secretary researcher in the field providing speculation on the possible narratives that unfold from related FOIA requests where whatever strong idea floats is what gets written about? So basically he's asking you, how would you describe your career? I would say probably both of the above.
Yeah, I actually would say a combination of the two. I mean, for people who aren't aware, I left school, you know, when I left school at six, I walked out of school, actually, which is a long story. I didn't go back. I was useless at school. You know, I had no qualifications, didn't go to college, no university, didn't know what I wanted to do, and got offered a job out of the blue on a magazine, a music magazine called Zero at the time. And it shut down years ago. And that sort of tutored me, if you like, in journalism, but I had an interest already existed in the paranormal. So, in other words, from there, I sort of thought, well, why not? When I finally got into writing books, my first book didn't come out till like 33. Between like 19 and 32, I worked, I had two jobs. One was a van driver for a paint and wallpaper company, and for the other 5 years, I was a forklift driver in a warehouse. So my first book didn't come out till I was like 33. But I, going back to when I worked on that magazine, I thought, well, why not try and apply sort of journalistic techniques to investigating the paranormal? So I have a deep passion for it, and I do the research and investigations primarily because I want the answers. But equally, I try and use that journalistic approach to looking for the answers and then present the data to the audience in that fashion as well. And I think, it is kind of a combination of a personal quest, but sort of journalistic research approach as well.
We have time maybe for one more question, Chris. You know, let me ask you a question here with all this. What is it about conspiracy theories, Nick Redfern, that eternally attracts people? Is it the belief that we can get the secret on what the government's really doing to us? It's all about paranoia, especially since most of these conspiracies involve things the government did or did not do. Is it part of our distrust of government, or is it just a good story? I mean, it's a sure thing that books about various conspiracy theories, particularly the Kennedy assassination, do sometimes manage to become bestsellers, so there is that incentive.
Well, I think when it comes to things like Rendlesham and Roswell, the fascination for the conspiracy is born out of the potential prize if we crack the conspiracy. You know, I mean, there might be a conspiracy in the British government about, you know, how they're buying cheap tea bags, you know, and selling them at a higher price, you know, but that's not it's a conspiracy, but nobody cares because it's a boring one. So I think things like Rendlesham and Roswell have become so huge in terms of conspiracy theorizing because of the potential gain if we break the conspiracy wide open. So in other words, I don't think it's just we're fascinated by conspiracies per se. It's what the end result might be if we prize it wide open, you know.
But these conspiracies that last forever, like Roswell, the Kennedy assassination, whatever. No hope to ever figure it out, get to the end of it?
Well, no. I mean, I wouldn't say there isn't any hope because, you know, I mentioned earlier about how mistakes can be made and, you know, a document might surface that got misfiled and that blows the entire thing wide open. But if I'm honest, then I have to say that given the fact that Roswell has remained a secret or an enigma for 66 years now, there's no reason it couldn't remain an enigma for another 66 years. And arguably, it would be even easier because, you know, 10 years from now, everybody involved will be dead who was back involved back in the 40s. You know, there's probably hardly anybody left now. You know, it's like Jack the Ripper. We'll never solve that one. Roswell and Rendlesham could become, unfortunately, modern day for us, Jack the Rippers. But I don't think that means we should be give up or be pessimistic, because that's just taking the loser way out. We should keep digging and hope we get there, but always be mindful of the fact that we may not, unfortunately.
When you write books of this sort, and this is a request for a quick answer because of the time factor, you never get callbacks from the government saying, what are you doing?
No, I don't, because mainly if people read my books, what I do is to use the Freedom of Information Act. You know, I'm not some, like Gary McKinnon, a classic example, hacking into computers. Well, ridiculous thing to do. Of course you're going to get punished and potentially even jailed, as he almost was. Edward Snowden, you know, he's had to flee the country and, you know, in Russia or whatever. But for me, what I do, I use the Freedom of Information Act.
Nick Redfern, where can we find more of your stuff?
NickRedfern14.blogspot.com, or just type me into Facebook. There's a few Nick Redferns, but it won't take a minute to find me. So.
Right. When you see the right person, you will know. You will feel it in your gut, right? Chris O'Brien has OurStrangePlanet.com. That's OurStrangePlanet.com because it is a strange planet. And the book Stalking the Herd, due momentarily. You can find us on Twitter, where we are known as The Paracast. We're The Paracast on Twitter. Check out our forum at forum.theparacast.com. Nick Redfern, thank you for joining us on The Paracast.
Thanks, guys.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast. America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system. And a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains three groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. TerraGanix.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.